This is Sarah Troop, and you're listening to the Cabinet of Curiosities. This week's episode, Who Put Bella in the Witch Elm? In the Midland of England, there is a place called Hagley Wood, an isolated spot that sits in the country, shadowed by the Clent Hills. One day in 1943, four young boys from nearby Stourbridge set out to take advantage of the sunny day that April is offering them. Boys of the era engaged in a variety of interesting pastimes, now long forgotten. The most common or popular manuals of the day included such inspired options, complete with detailed instructions for making kites, traps, guns, home taxidermy, and decorative displays of insects. Today, the boys set out to do some bird nesting so that they might expand their collections of preserved eggs and nests. Along the way, the boys crossed over into Hagley Wood. There, they happened upon a large hazel tree, mistaken for a witch elm, an unusual but aptly named tree. For the sight of its twisted and gnarled branches evoked something both sinister and mysterious. The oldest of the boys, Bob, climbed up into the tree to search for a nest in a deep hole. Bob looked into the hole, which provided a view of the hollowed-out trunk. Seeing something, he suspects, is an old animal skull, he reaches within and instead pulls out a human skull. There is still a small patch of rotting flesh attached to the forehead, as well as some hair. The two front teeth are crooked. Shocked and horrified at their discovery while trespassing on private land, the boys replace the skull in the tree and agree to tell no one. However, as in all good fairy tales, the youngest child always represents the conscience. Tommy Willits cannot carry the burden of such a terrible secret for long and tells his father what they had found. Tommy's father informs the Worcester County Police Force. When they arrive at the Witch Elm the following morning, they find not only the skull, but a nearly complete skeleton, fragments of clothing with all of the labels removed, a pair of crepe shoes, and a gold wedding ring. Another alarming discovery was made upon an extensive search of the area and surrounding undergrowth, a severed hand that had clearly been buried. Professor James Webster, head of forensics at the Home Office Forensic Science Lab in the West Midlands, took over the task of examining the body and other evidence collected at the scene. Webster's examination suggested that the remains belonged to a woman, approximately 35 years old. She was mother to at least one child. She had also been dead for 18 months prior to the boys' discovery, which would place the incident in the month of October of 1941. The coroner officially declared the cause of death murder by asphyxiation. You see, her mouth had been stuffed with taffeta, a fabric most commonly used for party dresses. she had been put in the hole while her body was still warm. Then, there was still the unusual matter of the severed hand. What motive or intent would cause such an act? Speculation immediately turned to black magic and the possibility of the desire to create a Hand of Glory. Potter fans will remember Draco obtaining one of these from Borgin and Burks to help smuggle Death Eaters into Hogwarts. But enough about my fandoms. Bella, a popular name in Black Country, was being used by some to describe the unknown victim. The name permanently stuck when Margaret Murray, a professor at University College in London, pressed the idea that the severed hand was evidence of a black magic execution. The Witch Hazel Tree, Belladonna, and even Hagley Wood itself were all rumored to be associated with witchcraft. Had Bella perhaps been executed for crimes against a coven? Or even her own coven? The forensics team was able to recreate a description from the evidence culled. An exhaustive search of missing persons files and dental records were fruitless. Then, in December, the words began to appear. First in nearby Old Hill, another in Birmingham, all seemingly written by the same hand, asking, "Who put Bella in the Witch Elm?" Who indeed? The years went on, with no new information on the case, the writing, and the question persisted. However, there was the implication that maybe, just maybe, the hand behind the writing knew something. Pleas to the writer to contact the police went unanswered. Then, in 1953, Anna arrived on the scene, bringing with her a new theory. The Wolverhampton Express and Star ran a piece about the case. The journalist responsible was contacted by someone calling themselves Anna. Anna claimed that Bella had been playing the role of the spy who knew too much, and had been murdered for what she knew about a pro-Nazi spy ring that included a Dutchman, a British officer that had gone insane and died, and a trapeze artist. The police investigated Anna's claims, and some of them were verified, lending aid to the rumors that two German parachutists had landed and subsequently vanished in the area in 1941. They were supposedly helping to guide bombers to several munitions factories in the surrounding areas. Things were beginning to look promising, and then came the news that Bella's remains had suddenly gone missing from Birmingham Medical University School, where they were housed. This prompted an onslaught of suspicion that information was being suppressed to protect other persons of some importance. No one ever suggested who was being protected or exactly why, and the trails laid out by Anna seemed to lead nowhere, and no arrests were ever made. Many subsequent theories have been put forth over the years, but none of them seem likely. Perhaps Bella's child had been fathered by a GI who wanted to get rid of her. But then, what happened to the child? And why the wedding ring? Or maybe Bella was a local woman who fled her home and hid in the woods during an air raid and fell victim to someone. But why would she not come up in missing persons report, though being married and having had a child? Perhaps a prostitute that had been killed and then dumped? This doesn't quite make sense either. To this day, police will not allow anyone access to the case files, citing that Bella's case is still considered open. Locals, proclaim Bella haunts the wood. The sound of a woman crying and screaming is often heard, and strange lights are seen. In Witchbury Hill, located opposite Hagley Wood, there is a pub that used to be called the Gypsy's Tent, so named for the gypsy camps common to the area. As the legend goes, a number of gypsies who were camping near Bella's tree were brutally murdered there. The pub has been renamed the Badger's Set, and both patrons and employees tell stories of doors opening of their own accord, cold spots, and objects being moved. Some think it might be Bella, and if it is, she might have some company. An account from a detective constable, Roger Ryder, ran in the Black Country Bugle in 2007. One summer night, around 1 o'clock in the morning, Detective Ryder was driving past the pub. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees that the Badger's Set is all lit up and glowing brightly. As his car gets closer, the figure of a man emerges from the parking lot area. He is dressed like an old cavalier soldier in boots, big hat, the red uniform, and a sword. So logically, he assumes that there is what the Brits call a fancy dress party going down. The man runs right into the road, and their eyes meet. And at this point, Ryder thinks to himself, if this guy keeps running, I will never be able to stop the car in time. And of course, the uniformed man does just that. Ryder had been going 60 miles an hour, but he slams on his brakes anyway, knowing that it's too late. The car screeches to a halt, whilst spinning on its axis, a full 180. It finally came to a stop facing the opposite direction. He sits there, stunned, knowing that he has just killed a man. Ryder finally collects himself and exits the car to find the body, and there is nothing there. He checks the nearby field, the hedges, and under the car itself, there is no sign of the uniformed man, nor that his car has hit anything. He also notices that it is eerily quiet. Ryder looks across to the Badger's Set and finds it in total darkness. Thanks to the mystery blogger, who used to write for the now missing in action blog, Creepy Pictures. And, as always, to Steve Troop for editing the show. You can learn more about the stories featured on the Cabinet of Curiosities by visiting our website, cabinetofcuriositiespodcast.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troop. Thanks for listening.
At the elm it did fall. The ravens and crows frightened out of their holes and away from it all. It got colder and a figure did walk from the elm and away. A ghost or a hermit on land made for no one. You whispered to me, we'll listen to nothing. The birds were not home, the rain had all stopped. Too dark to feel safe and too light to hide quickly. We just stood our ground. All the trees that spanned Babe Rock could have fallen at the time. you wouldn't hear a sound.